I'd like to welcome everyone to our service this morning. As we continue our study of Peter and Cornelius, this morning my topic is, does God hear the prayer of the sinner? I can tell you that in our study of the example of the conversion of Cornelius, just about all of our lessons have gone back to the basics of teaching and taking in consideration those things that are necessary for us as Christians to believe, to obey, and to consider as we continue in our Christian life. This morning for our text, I'd like to read from Acts chapter 10, we'll begin with verse 24 and we'll read through verse 33. The Bible says, "In the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends, and Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself am also a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, 'For what reason have you sent for me?' So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God.'" Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. You know, as we continue to take in consideration our topics this month, we touch on the false doctrine, I guess you would say, according to the religious denominational world. And this is another situation concerning prayer where there is some things that are taught that are not according to what the scriptures actually tell us. There is a great misunderstanding concerning prayer within the religious world today. Because of the example of the conversion of Cornelius, the question is asked, does God hear the prayer of the sinner? For just a moment, I'd like to address the false teaching that we hear of, that so-called the sinner's prayer. This has been referred to before in our teaching. But I don't think that I ever took in consideration the actual steps concerning this prayer and how that some believe that salvation is actually through praying this. I actually ran across the 4 steps concerning this this false teaching. They say that the first step is that God loves you and has a plan for you. The Bible says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son. And whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." It's John 3 and verse 16. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. A complete life full of purpose." John 10 and verse 10. They say, but here's the problem. Step number 2. Man is sinful and separated from God. They say we have all done we've all done, we've thought, or we've said bad things, which the Bible calls sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. The result of sin is death, spiritual separation from God. Romans 6 and verse 23. The good news, step number 3. God sent His Son to die for your sins. Jesus died in our place so we could have a relationship with God and be with Him forever. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. But it didn't end with His death on the cross. He rose again and still lives. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and verse 4. Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." John 14 and verse 6. Step number 4. The question is asked, would you like to receive God's forgiveness? We can't earn salvation. We are saved by God's grace when we have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. All you must do is believe you are a sinner, that Christ died for your sins, and ask His forgiveness. Then turn from your sins. That's called repentance. Jesus Christ knows you and loves you. What matters to Him is the attitude of your heart, your honesty. We suggest praying the following prayer to accept Christ as your Savior. This is the sinner's prayer. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that He died for my sin and that you raised Him to life. I want to trust Him as my Savior and follow Him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. What do you think? Listen again. Step number 4. This one sentence. All you must do is believe you are a sinner, that Christ died for your sins, and ask for His forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know, you cannot ask for God's forgiveness unless you are baptized. Before baptism, you can ask all you want to for the forgiveness of sins, and it will never happen. Because through baptism is where we come in contact with the blood of Christ. And before His blood covers our sins, we have no way of obtaining forgiveness for those sins. The sinner's prayer. This is an example of one's aim in taking the Scriptures and seeing what can be made of them, and not one's aim for finding out what God has said. The lesson this morning is not about the sinner's prayer. It's about the question, does God hear the prayer of the sinner? I want you to turn to John 9 and verse 31. We're just going to answer this question at the very beginning. There the Bible says, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him." If God doesn't hear sinners, what about Cornelius? What about the example of the conversion of Cornelius? If God doesn't hear sinners, what about Cornelius? The statement of the man who has been healed of his blindness in John chapter 9 and verse 31, his statement was, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him." This verse is often read without taking in consideration the context or taking in consideration the other teachings on the scriptures on this particular subject. Notice the example of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9. In verse 1 of chapter 9, it says that Saul was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. In verse 6, after the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, when the Lord told him, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he was told to arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. 3 days later, in verse 11, the Lord told Ananias to go to Saul, for he is praying. Now, we don't know what Saul was praying about. The Bible doesn't say. But it does clearly reveal that Saul was not saved by prayer. He had not been baptized into Christ and therefore could not have been praying for remission of sins. This is a spiritual blessing for those only who have been baptized into Christ. Saul was saved when he obeyed what he was told to do. The Apostle Paul himself said Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's in Acts 22 and verse 16. Now I want you to know this, that calling on the name of the Lord is not the same as praying in our New Testament scriptures. Because Paul had been praying, but he had not called on the name of the Lord. Neither is believing calling on the name of the Lord. Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 13 and verse 14, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Preaching, hearing, believing, calling are four different things. Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." I want you to look at the meaning, the Greek meaning of this word answer. In the Greek, it means to earnestly seek, a craving, an intensive desire. It is an appeal or a call to God for a good conscience. It is clear that Saul of Tarsus prayed before he was saved, but salvation was not by the sinner's prayer, as the denominational preachers teach today. When asked the question, "Does God answer the prayer of the sinner?" what is missing is a lack of distinction between a person actively engaged in sin and a person seeking forgiveness of his sins. A person who has sinned is not yet forgiven is a sinner in one sense of the word. But generally, the Bible talks of sinners as people who are actively engaging in sin. God doesn't hear those involved in sin. What kind of sin was the man talking about in John chapter 9? Jesus had healed the blind man on the Sabbath day, and some said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" The Jews who were finding fault said, "We know this man is a sinner." That's in verse 24 of Acts chapter 9. The man who had been healed said, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. These Jews were not accusing Jesus of being a Gentile. These Jews were accusing him of being a disobedient Jew. The man who had been healed knew the teaching of the Old Testament. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." In Proverbs 15 and verse 29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." Another passage that is commonly cited is Isaiah 59, verses 1 through verse 9. Listen to this. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their hands, are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Therefore justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness." The answer to why God was not listening was because the people were engaged in sins. It is the same warning that James gives in James 4, verse 2 through verse 4. There it says, "You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." In the example of Cornelius, while he sinned like all men, he was not described as a sinner. The Bible says that Cornelius was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people, and prayed to God always. Again, the same is true of Cornelius. We don't know what he prayed. We have no idea what he was praying for, but we know that he was not saved by prayer. In describing this conversion, while Cornelius still needed to be saved from his sins, it was because of his devotion that God heard his prayers. The angel told Cornelius, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God." Those prayers didn't save Cornelius. They didn't change the fact that Cornelius needed saving from his sins, though. But Cornelius wanted to do what was right, and he tried. And God helped him find the way to salvation. God makes a way for those who earnestly seek, have a craving, or an intense desire to know him. Cornelius did what James would later teach in James 4, verse 7 through verse 10. There it says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. In closing, there is a good example in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. I want you to listen to this. There in Luke 18, beginning verse 9, it says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." When a person seeks out God, the Lord can be found. The sinner that God will not hear is the person that professes to be a child of God, but lives a life of rebellion against God's word. To expect answers from God when we are not concerned about following God's word, this doesn't make any sense. It's a sobering thought to realize that if I refuse to listen to God's word, he will not listen to my prayers. But when a person seeks God, he will point the sinner to the way of righteousness. Even in Cornelius' example, God didn't tell Cornelius directly what he had to do to be saved. He told him where to find the answer. Even today, God answers the prayer of those who seek him. The answer may come in the form of access to a Bible or just happening to run across a Christian who is able to teach that person the truth. But that person still must respond. The Bible is very clear concerning the steps to obtain salvation. First of all, we must all believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And we are told in Romans 10 and verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we are told, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." We must repent of past sins. In Luke 13 and verse 3, we are told, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." We must confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Matthew 10, verse 32 and verse 33, there it says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." And then we must be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. In Acts 2 and verse 36 through verse 38, "Therefore, Peter is preaching there on the day of Pentecost. He says, 'Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.' Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then after baptism, we must rise to walk a new life. In Romans 6, beginning in verse 3, it says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." If there's one this morning that is subject to the gospel call, or if there's one that stands in need of the prayers of the church, we bid you come while we stand and sing.